Good evening, my friend.
Hi. Good evening.
Green
salutations, my dear friend.
Oh, no, you're on the couch again. Does that mean your back hurts?
I've been in pain pretty much all week.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. It's fine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You'll hear about it when I come see you next week.
No.
It's fine. My brain's been hijacked a little bit by MS. So if I don't know what I'm talking about tonight, that's why.
No.
So anyway.
I don't have an MS excuse. If my brain's messed up, it's because
you have a 3-year-old excuse. And a full-time job and another full-time job and a dog and you're single mom of all that.
Yeah. That's true.
You're doing it all yourself. Hi, welcome. What are we doing? Fat Friday, 1,000-pound sisters. See, told you, my brain's been hijacked a little bit. Anyway, 1,000-pound sisters, let's just get to it. We're trying to catch up. Here we go.
Yeah, we're doing a double episode today. Season 5, episode 5.
Supersized.
Yeah, the custardy battle. I'm like, custard sounds pretty damn good right now.
Custard.
I ate a donut today for the first time in a while.
Wow.
Was craving a donut.
Your body go into shock from all the sugar?
No, surprisingly. It was a, what do you call it? Boston cream. Anywho, talking about custard and things filled in the middle. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, previously we see Misty and Amanda both had weight loss surgery. Caleb gains 37 pounds in rehab. And Amy finds out that Michael was actually the first person to file for a divorce when she left her lawyer's office. So yeah. Amy's at the courthouse for her official first court date for the divorce. And we find out that Amanda had divorced Michael's brother a year ago.
Right, which we actually knew this already, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it wasn't like a big, they didn't make a big thing of it, but they did mention it, like, sort of offhand a time or two. So we knew this already, that she was already divorcing, like, that they had been married. Like, we learned it last season or the season before. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was like 2 seasons before, but I don't know. The timing's off because I was like, oh, well, it was only a year ago. But then I remember they film it, like, weirdly. Like, I don't even know when it was filmed, so.
Right.
And we find out that Michael wants joint custody, even though he doesn't do anything.
Now, oh my God. So this motherfucker, who apparently has supervised visitation at the moment, which obviously there's a story there that we don't know. why it was granted a supervised visitation, like what happened, you know, that was the default before the custody hearing versus the other way around. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, like, red flag there. But also, like, him asking for 50-50 custody and him actually doing 50-50 custody are two totally separate things. Like, I think he's flexing right now. Like, he's got a lawyer that's representing him probably pro bono and this shit or whatever. And, you know, thinks either going to get all, like, Amy's money or access to, I don't know, who knows what the hell the thing is. But I think that he's just trying to flex because, you know, that motherfucker doesn't actually want 100%. He doesn't want any custody. He doesn't want any percentage, because if he did, he would have been a parent while they were together.
Right.
If he actually wanted to parent, we wouldn't be in divorce court.
Exactly.
If he wanted a parent 50% of the time, I think Amy would have taken that during their marriage.
Right?
You know what
it's
I mean?
Funny too, that's what always happens when, you know, other people get divorced and stuff. All of a sudden all these men want 50-50.
Suddenly they're filing asking for, oh, I'm the best parent in the world out there. And then right. You're like, oh, really?
Child support. Although I don't know Kentucky's laws with that, but yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Try to get out of child support, I guess. I think that's the main reason, right? I would think some
it's
of
less.
These douchebags, some of the douchebags that do it, do this, you know, so they can get out of, you know, paying, you know, they pay less child support or whatever. If they have more custody, it's less child support. But like, I can't. I just can't.
I know.
It's your child.
I know.
Child.
Yeah. And then Amy goes on to say it's like either her taking care of the kids or it's his mom. So it's one of those things where, like, is his mom enabling him or is she doing it because obviously she loves her grandkids, but that's neither here nor there. Or both.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Or both. I mean, there could be both, but, you know, it's like he's asking for 50-50 custody, but he's not going to be the one watching him when he has his 50%. It's going to be his mom.
Right.
Because he's not capable of doing it. So, like, why is he asking for it?
He's too bad. He's too busy playing with his little video games.
You and like your a child. Video games. Rage, rage, rage.
The rage room was funny.
Rage room.
Yeah. Amy says she's the nanny, the chef, everything while he's the video game player. And then she goes, he's lying through his teeth, but he ain't got none.
I know.
And then she said Glenn has two teeth. And he has two more teeth than his daddy does.
Got more teeth than his daddy does.
I was dying.
Dying.
I was
laughing. And then Chris with what? Toothless and bald in Kentucky is the new dating profile.
What a dating app, yeah.
Like, that's perfect.
Oh, my God. Well, of course, they did not actually come to an agreement. So they have to go back in a month. But we do learn that Michael chose not to appear and comment on the show after that. So my guess is he's done being on the show. He doesn't want anything to do with it, probably.
Right, probably because he doesn't get paid separate. I don't know. Who knows?
He probably knows he's a piece of shit and doesn't want the world to see anything else happen.
Yeah, he is a piece of shit, so.
Yeah. I literally typed after this, Tammy is vacuuming, and I typed it all in caps. With exclamation marks after.
I know, right?
I was like, you get it, girl.
Having a real life.
Yes.
You know, here's something that's interesting. And maybe I'll get into it. I don't know when it'll come up. But, okay, so I went and rewatched the last three episodes, right? Including the most recent one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I watched these three episodes back to back to back, right? And what I realized in it, that it's all three exactly the same episode. Okay. So it's Amy losing her shit, saying I'm done, but in different locations.
Okay.
So this episode, she does it in her house, right? Because we get into the, where she finds the wedding dress, she loses her shit and all of that, right? Doesn't that happen in this episode?
It's like a mild form of, she cries, but not, I wouldn't say losing her shit in that part, but.
So then the next episode, she loses her shit in wherever it is. I forget.
Everything's blending together.
It's all blending together. And then the gym. Last one is in Florida. But it's all the same thing. Oh, the gym. She was at the gym. Losing her shit at the gym. Like, it's like the story editors are bothering me on this because it's like, I feel like these episodes should be building. Like, okay, they're building. Amy's clearly losing her shit. And each episode is supposed to build on the other. And then, like, there's a big blow up and then there's resolution or whatever. But it doesn't feel like they're building on each other. It's just like, it's like the same level of tension in each episode. And it's like, nothing's being advanced in the storyline.
I'm just like waiting for somebody to step in and be like, hey, we got you a mental health professional. Because at this point, I'm just like watching it deteriorate, the family trying to jump in. And I'm like, this woman needs help. Like, she needs actual like help.
Yeah. Seriously. Like yeah. For reals help.
Yeah.
I mean, like, obviously she's happy and everything's good now in real time now, like real lifetime now versus when this was being filmed. But yeah, I'm hoping that that's like, there's an intervention of some sort coming up.
Yeah, seriously. There was a time that I needed help and I didn't know I needed help, but I basically reached out to a friend and she like found a therapist for me. And I was like, thank you. Like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I needed that, but I'm like, I feel like somebody needs to step in and be like,
and hey. I feel like they're trying in the way that they know how, which is their like hillbilly way. They know how, you know?
Right. Well, that's why I'm like, fucking TLC, man. Somebody at the production needs to step in. Like,
yeah, because those kids, you know.
Right? Those poor children are being exposed to the drama and the sadness and the anger and the rage.
Well, and they're at risk. I mean, quite frankly, they're at risk. Mm-hmm. With Amy being the way that she is. I mean, through no fault of her own. I'm not. Right. There's no. It's just that she needs to be removed from those children right now. Like, her sisters need to take those kids away and separate them for a moment, because, like, that's not forcing her to, like, go. They're your kids. Go be a mom or whatever. That's not going to teach her how to be a mom in that moment. They're in a crisis moment right now. That's not what needs to happen. She needs parenting lessons. She needs all of this stuff. And we can get into this a little bit more as we get further. Let's get on with the recap and then we'll go more into it.
So back to the vacuuming and then candle making. They're making like garlic scented candles. I was like, what the fuck?
She was craving garlic scent while she was pregnant. So she's like, let's make candles. What are you gonna do?
That's not a terrible idea. I mean, people are selling farts in jars online. So I guess garlic candles is an upgrade from that. Amy burned the tablecloth. Tammy's little Walmart sunflower tablecloth.
That was Dollar Tree. That was Dollar General.
Oh, was it?
That was straight Dollar General.
It was sunflowers. Do you think Caleb got it for her?
Oh my God. She has sunflowers all over that house in a way that, like, word art sunflowers exploded. It's mm-hmm. like, it's like a Dollar Tree exploded on in the summer, exploded on her walls. Which, you know what? Like, God bless her, like, and her taste. I'll just say that. Her very hillbilly taste. But God bless her. She's living in a house that she gets to decorate, and she's doing the damn thing, right?
Like, she is doing the damn thing, yep.
Go for it. Go, you go, girl. But, like, oh, sweetie, you know. And why can't they fix their teeth?
It's expensive. Like,
why is that not a priority? But why is that not a priority? They're spending money on doing other things.
Well, production's probably paying for the other things.
They're going to, like, rage rooms and they're doing all this other stuff, right? Like,
that's because TLC's paying for that.
Why can't they do something for their teeth? Their front teeth.
I think they need to partner up with some cosmetic dentists because, I mean, shit, I told you, I have one dental implant. One implant. That would probably cost me almost $6,000 through all the process. Oh, yeah. For one. You're talking about veneers and all kinds of shit.
I've got a bridge. I've got crowns. And an implant.
Yeah.
Most of my teeth are not my own in my mouth. I get it. But, like, I feel like a cosmetics dentist could fix that, like, super easy and quick. Like, just a little, like, little front, like, fix, you know what I mean?
Like dentures, maybe?
Maybe dentures, implants. I don't know. But, like, they don't have front teeth. Like, I feel like that's health-wise bad. I feel like that's a bad thing.
I don't know. I don't know.
You know, that's not the same thing as, like, my half a molar that's cracked, broken in the back. Like, that's not the same thing. It doesn't impact my ability to chew or eat or look at the world, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, like, that'll be on, like, their list of things to do.
That would be an excellent TLC, like, they said,
makeover show,
or just like one of their producer excursions, right? Like, they sent him to get quail eggs and sushi, right? Like, mm-hmm. This will be a good adventure to film them getting their teeth fixed.
Yeah, so that would be cool.
Stacy, who went to Turkey to get their teeth done.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Anyway,
it's on a tangent.
But I digress.
Well, Tammy and Caleb are FaceTiming, and she says she feels like Caleb is hiding something from her. And he tells her on FaceTime that he's struggling with eating and that he was actually in the hospital. So she didn't even know he went to the hospital.
Oh, by the way, he was in the hospital for 6 days or whatever. How do you not tell your spouse?
It doesn't make any sense because he's, like, so infatuated with her, but he's not going to communicate that with her.
Well, it's not true love. Right. Like, they're infatuated. They're like in lust with each other and infatuated that they love each other. They love the idea of it, I think, because you can see this as the episode progresses and the next episode when this one really was when she goes to visit him. Right.
Right.
and you saw the awkwardness and how, like, she's just like, all he wants to do is tell me he loves me, which is great, but like, we can't have a real conversation.
Yeah,
I'm wrong. And it's like, she's outgrown him already. I mean, I have a lot of issues with her behavior over this next course of episodes because of the way she treats him. I have a lot of issues with it, but at the same time, I also, like, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, I started reading on like trauma bonding and stuff. So I'm reading Attached by Amir Levine, Dr. Amir Levine, which if you're listening is an amazing freaking book.
Okay.
So it's going to help even if you're in a relationship, not a relationship, like learning about attachment theories. And anywho, there's definitely trauma bonding between the two of them. And I feel like
for sure,
she's like you said, she's growing out of it and he's not there. Like he's not at the same place.
Right. Like they, I mean,
she's kind of pulling about back.
It, so the what?
She's like pulling back. Like she's uncomfortable.
Okay, so they're both food addicts, right? So they met basically in rehab, right? A sober living house is essentially the equivalent of what they were living in, right? It's a place to house the people, right? It's up to you whether you do, you know, stay on the straight and narrow. It's like, it's up to them what they eat and stuff, but the place houses them and takes care of their, you know, basic needs and stuff. And that's like a sober living house. So it's like these two met in rehab, their own rehab, but they met in rehab. She got sober and he didn't. And now she's being all sanctimonious as shit about it. And he's still living in the sober living house, like getting high with his buds, you know, and she's going to like meetings and, you know, hanging out with, you know, fellowshipping with sober people and things like that, and trying to do, you know, doing her thing. And she's like, why aren't you sober yet? Why aren't you sober yet? And it's like, there's just the I get it. I mean, like, she's like, I did it, you can do it too. But her approach is like, I feel like, I mean, I've seen it thousands of times in my own life. This is what happens. Addicts get together in rehab and then one gets sober and one doesn't. And this is what happens. One is moving forward and growing as a human and the other one is not because they're stuck in their active addiction and they're not ready to get sober yet or whatever. And I feel like that's the exact situation that you have here. You know, she's made that switch. She's had that light come on for her and he hasn't. And he's just like, well, you know, it's fine if you're do it in a controlled way, which like,
what? Well, the thing is too, the difference between a sober house and this is like, I feel like there's a lot more resources in a sober house because I don't know what kind of education they're getting.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're getting dietary recommendations. I don't know if they're getting therapy.
Well, they don't, they're getting, like, a lot of sober living houses don't have that stuff either.
But they have like group meetings and like
not necessarily. I'm talking about just the ones that are just houses. They have they have like basic rules and like chores and stuff you have to do, but it's basically more just like it's literally just a sober living house. It's not
gotcha.
It's not like a rehab, doesn't like, have programs,
yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
have any of that. Like you go, I mean, they support each other and they support programs and they, you know, have resource people available sometimes, but I've seen a lot of sober living houses that don't, you know, there's like a house manager type of thing. And I mean, I've had sponsees go out on, you know, start drinking again, living in sober living houses and stuff. It's not, they're just like, I mean, like-minded people, you know, can all sort of be, you know, you kind of have the resources. I mean, and it depends, obviously, but that's kind of what I liken it to, right? In that regard, not like a rehab. Like when I did my treatment, I lived in a sober living house that was affiliated with the rehab center that I was going to. So they like transported us to and from the rehab, but they weren't the rehab. They housed us and transported us around, right? So they didn't provide programming to us, but they gave us the access to the programming. Like they were the liaison, like, and while we're, you know, to take us to the program and stuff like that.
Yeah. The fact that Caleb could just have junk food just sitting out and like not exercise if he didn't want to is just like frustrating to me because I'm like, these people need help. Like they need serious help. And like, is our medical system so fucked up that like, they can't get the proper help. I don't know.
It really is that fucked up.
he needs to step up and do it on his own too. I'm not saying that there's no self, but
like to have a doctor like Dr. Smith help you,
right?
Because see, in this case, so like I think so, like with Tammy, you know, he facilitated like, hey, here's a place you can stay, but he worked with her. The program she was working was through him, right?
Exactly. He had the, like, nutritionist, he had all the stuff. Yeah. The
nutritionist, therapist, all of that stuff. The other place was a place that you could live, you know, the whatever, the place, the rehab is a place where she could live, and they have the facilities. She can make the choices on the healthy food that she chooses versus not healthy food, you know, and DoorDash and mozzarella sticks.
Fried mushrooms, all the things I love. I'm like, ooh. Fried mushrooms, mozzarella sticks.
Oh, I could go for a fried mushroom right now.
I could go for some pizza with that. Mm. Yep. Well, Tammy wants Caleb to experience rewards. Sorry, that's how she said it.
I know, that was so funny. The rewards.
And she wants to head back up to the rehab center to motivate him to get back on track. Then we go through this whole scene of Chris buying a chicken coop because of eggs and being expensive. And
that whole thing. I'm glad that I think that that trend has passed, but I still will say it. Like the idea that people were buying chickens and like, oh, I'm going to raise chickens because prices of eggs are so expensive. It's like, do you not realize that the cost of raising chickens is more expensive than the extra few dollars it's going to be for your eggs for this temporary time? Like what about that anyway? And then he doesn't even buy the right thing. He buys a fucking rabbit hutch.
He buys like a Temu or whatever. What's that website? Temu, wish.com. It's like you're getting a chicken coop, but in reality, you get like a freaking mouse house.
For real.
Well, this scene really got me. Tammy goes to Amy's OBGYN to see if she's healthy and if she can conceive, because originally she said she didn't want to have children, but now that she's lost all the weight and she's really motivated, she's actually excited and wants to conceive at some point. Because
it might be a possibility for her now, but it wasn't before. So yeah.
The last time she was at an OBGYN office was in 2011. And that's when she got her IUD. And I literally just got an IUD yesterday. So I was thinking about it. I did a lot of research on it, obviously, because I was getting one. But I was just like, holy shit. It's been since 2011.
Like, my last IUD, I think I had in for like 6 years. But that's like what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I found out when she was taking it out and replacing it, she's going to take that one out, put a new one in. She found out that the one that I'd had in wasn't even in right. It was like the little, you know, like the things stick out and it's supposed to go in and then pop out. Well, it just went in. They never put it in far enough for it to pop out. So it was just sitting in my cervix the whole time.
How did they not see that?
Because I got it done at Crippler in Hawaii, which is the military hospital, the army hospital. Oh, it's Tripler. Sorry. Tripler Army Medical, whatever it's called. And we called it Crippler for a reason.
Lordy.
I think I still have like PTSD from that insertion, because it was like, it's a teaching hospital, which I'm all for, you know, come have everybody look up in my hoo-ha if it helps them, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Hoo-ha situation can help teach a new doctor something. Go ahead, look at my hoo-ha. I don't care. But these people had never put one in before. So, and I have to be dilated.
Right.
Because my cervix isn't open. So they have to manually dilate me.
Right.
Put it in. And this intern had never done it before. And I realized somebody's always got to be the first. But it was me. And then they ultimately had to end up throwing that one away because it got not sterile at some point, and they had to go get another device. And then the attending, who's like 75 years old, is the one who ended up putting it in.
And they messed up while teaching the other guy how to do it? That's crazy.
I don't know who was teaching what. I just know that it took forever. And it was ridiculous. And it was painful. It was awful.
Yeah, that was not fun. I totally get it. The biopsy.
So, but then I went and got another one with a perfectly capable OBGYN who I love in this area. So,
Yep. It's almost like barbaric in some ways. How much it hurt, like, yeah, whatever. Oh, woo. Yeah. She,
anyway.
Yeah. Anywho. We digress.
We'll be right back.
Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought, like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it, and it is super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
And now back to the fraudcast.
So they weigh Tammy at the doctor's office, and she was previously 420, and at the doctor's office, she weighed 374.6 pounds, which is great. So she lost a lot of weight in just a short amount of time. I can't remember, 5 weeks ago. So it's 5 weeks at Dr. Mm-hmm. Smith's office. She was 420.
Yeah.
And she said it's been since middle school since she was that small.
It's unreal. Unreal. Like, yeah. It's so great. So great to see.
And of course, Amy's doctor's like, do you want to get on the scale? She's like, no.
She's like, hell no.
Yep. So Tammy's IUD should have been taken out in 2016. And Amy was laughing, going, it's got permanent residence. It ain't coming out.
Yeah, you're not gonna kick it out now. It's like, nope, I live here now.
Right. It's like absorbed into your body.
Right.
So then the doctor's like kind of asking about Tammy and her sex life, which I was like laughing about because she was like, I'm handy capable.
Are you like, sexually active? No, I just lie there.
Yeah. handy capable. They make it work.
Make she it said, work. There's no way his wee-wee is getting in her hoo-ha, though.
Mm-mm. No. I don't think his probably works.
I don't know. Maybe if, it does. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's no way that thing is getting in her hoo-ha, though. So I don't know how she thinks there was any sperm deposited up near her cooter anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, there's sperm all over that pillow that she brought him, I'm sure.
Oh, but... I'm sure. Ooh. Probably a hole in the pillow. She said she doesn't remember the last time she had a period and that there's a slight chance she could be pregnant. And no. She said she's craving weird things like water. Amy's like, bitch, you ain't pregnant, you thirsty.
Right? Like the look on the... I mean, clearly this whole scene, the particular phraseology used by everybody was done at the producer's request because there's a slight chance I may be pregnant now. No, because the way she went on to further explain it, like it wasn't really a chance she might be pregnant. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Further explain it, but you get that sound bite, you can use it on a clip and make everybody think, oh my God, is Tammy pregnant? And let's watch it.
The doctor's face was priceless. Like, I could see her just trying to hold it together.
Mm-hmm. But, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not how that works.
Like, I'm sorry, you've been your IUD since when? Oh, okay, 2011. Oh, okay. Tammy and Chris are leaving to go see Caleb. And she doesn't think Caleb's being honest about his weight loss because she's been where he was. So she knows the lies, the manipulation, she knows what it's like on his side of the of things. While they're doing that, Misty, Amanda, and Amy are heading back to the house to get clothes. So apparently Michael moved in with his mom temporarily. And Amy's been living with Tammy, so the house has been kind of empty. But then there was trash in the trash cans. I noticed weird things outside. So I'm like, somebody's staying there.
Yeah. Yeah, this whole scene was just like weird. Okay, like, let's go to the house so you can get stuff. Okay. They're being there, like, makes you feel like some kind of type of way. Okay, I get that. But I feel like you should be, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. I don't know which house is bigger, but maybe Tammy's house is bigger and that's why they're there versus over at this house. But clearly this whole scene is manufactured for the purpose of like, oh, let's go get clothes for the us and the boys. And oh, boy, howdy, here's my wedding dress. Like that's, no, just right. No.
Yep. Yep. And while Amy's in the house, she says that there's a lot of happy memories here, but the negative memories outweigh the positive. I was like, damn.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Really bad. So then she starts bawling.
She's so proud of that house, too, being able to buy it.
I know. It's yeah. Remember how they moved out of, like, the roach-infested house?
Yeah.
And they did all the things.
The duplex that they lived in with next to Tammy.
Yes.
And moved it, and then moved into when they she was so, like, being able to, like, buy the house was so important to her, you know?
Mm-hmm. Ugh. I think they need, like, a 1,000-pound compound. Like, the whole family just needs to move into, like, some sort of
big old farm out back for Chris. And
yeah. Like kind of like Little People, Big World, where they just start adding on houses on the property. I don't know.
Oh, is that what they do?
Have you never seen that show?
I haven't seen it since like the first season. And I was like, oh, I do not like this family at all. Father was annoying and mom was like, eh, no, I don't like, there's nothing redeeming. I didn't like anything about them.
Gotcha. Well, Amy starts bawling when she sees the wedding dress, as, you know, you mentioned.
Yes. Stupid.
And then we cut back to Tammy and Chris at the rehab center. So Tammy says it's been almost 2 months since she's seen Caleb in person. And then they slowly are, like, wheeling towards each other, like, slow motion, like in a movie.
You mean, like music, you know, like.
Mm-hmm. Caleb brings Tammy flowers, and shocker, they're sunflowers. Yeah.
Sunflower. I love you, my sunflower.
Did you memorize the poem?
I didn't memorize the poem. All I know is of sunflower.
Oh, my goodness.
That's more than I memorized it so I could recite it to myself in the evening to, you know, remind myself of the love that I don't have from Caleb.
I'm going to start saying it to you next time I see you in person.
Yeah. Am I your sunflower?
You're my sunflower.
Oh.
You are my sunflower. So Caleb's complimenting Tammy and telling her how much he missed her. And this is what we talked about earlier, where she was just sitting there looking like silent, uncomfortable.
Awkward.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like Caleb's like, I'm going to
foreshadowing her leaving him.
Yup. Caleb says he wants to weigh himself in front of her to show her his progress. But then he's nervous about it. So he weighed 424.6 pounds, which means he's down from 537. So he lost 12.5 pounds, which is not a lot in the time. I don't remember how long.
Wasn't it also like a gain?
He had gained weight originally. So he gained up to 537.
Yeah.
And then that's when they had the conversation where she was like upset and worried about him. So then he only lost 12.5 pounds.
Okay.
From the time they had that combo, which at his weight, he should be dropping weight like mad crazy. He should have lost 12 pounds in a day, probably.
Right.
But
that screenshot that I sent you.
Yes.
Was right when he was about to step on the scale.
And I was that's what that was.
Such a good pause point.
The way their eyes were, it looked like they were almost looking at you through the TV screen. Yeah. I was like, whoa, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So Tammy basically tells him to try a little harder in therapy. Which I remember her family telling her to do.
Yeah. So this is where I go back to her sanctimonious shit, right? Like, I don't blame her at all, because when there's a certain level of like being on this side of it and you're like, I want everybody to do, oh, you can do it, I know you can, it's like, oh my god, it's right here, just reach out, we, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to just pull them over that line, and you know this, you know this from your family experience with addiction, right? But like, if they're in the act of addiction, they're not going to come with you, no. right? Nope. And so she's trying so hard, but she's doing it all wrong. Like, go try harder in therapy. Like, I get it. But that's like somebody telling me, like, oh, so just don't drink.
Right.
Oh, right. Okay. I'll just, why hadn't I thought of that? Oh, okay.
Stop eating. Don't drink.
I just should have stopped drinking all those years ago. That's
if anything, it probably would trigger for me. I don't know. I can't speak for you, but like, I feel like that's almost more triggering to tell you to just like stop. Like,
yeah, because
stop smoking. I want a cigarette more now. I mean, I
yeah, it makes me want to drink at you.
Right.
Like you want me to stop? Fuck you. I'm going to drink more just because of that, because, you know, that makes sense. But that's how addicts think. Right. That's how we think, because our thinking is jacked up. Right. And that's what needs to be fixed. And that's what you need therapy and all the other shit for. And he's clearly not working any of his programs or doing any of his shit, because he's like doing his stuff or whatever. He's giving lip service to his therapy, not trying hard or whatever, but then going and buying his snacks.
Right.
Right. Which, I mean, I have mad respect for a box of snacks in your room, because, I mean, that's like my dream right there. I love having a box of snacks in my room. But again, I'm a raging alcoholic. I have no boundaries with moderation. I don't know how this works. So I'm just, you know, I'm not a healthy example of it or anything. But
that's funny. I mean, it's not funny you're raging alcoholic. I'm just saying it's
it is.
It's funny that you can laugh about it and be yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Be who you are.
I mean, it's part of who I am. And there shouldn't be a stigma about it. You know, somebody doesn't give, I don't have a stigma against somebody. Oh, you caught cancer. Right. Well, okay. Good luck pulling yourself up by the bootstraps. Oh yeah. You know, just stop existing in the human and
just heal.
Just get better.
Right.
Okay. All right. Go. Like, no, it doesn't.
Addiction's so misunderstood.
It is
for a lot of people. I think it's like, yeah, it's sad. And the thing that Tammy's not doing is, or at least we don't see it. Of course, we're seeing edits and small clips, but
yeah,
she's not really setting boundaries and limitations. So she's not healed enough, right,
to be staging an intervention for somebody that she loves, or quote unquote loves. You know what I mean? Like, she's not a professional to get it, and there's nobody better to help us than another addict, but her approach is not helpful at all. Yeah. And it's clearly not helping him, and it's not healthy for either one of them, to be honest. That's why you're not supposed to have rehab romances. Like, you're not in a place to get into a relationship. Like, you're broke. Like, not you're not broken, but you're like, you're in rehab. Like, dude.
Yeah. It's not real life. That's why they never should have gotten married. You're not in the real world. Like, you're not living life and having those experiences. You're literally in rehab trying to get better,
and you are eating yourself to death because you have no other coping skills, and you have a lot of trauma and healing to do in your existence and how your coping mechanisms, and you need to learn that stuff, and you need to figure out how to life on your own without your addiction. You don't need to be complicating all that with relationships. I mean, to each his own, obviously,
right?
But you know, I don't know, just like meeting in rehab. And yeah, I mean, I've seen it work, to be honest. I've got to be honest, I've seen it work positively too. So you know, I'll throw that out there, but that's what, yeah, she's on one side of it and he's just not there yet, and her approach isn't working. So
yep. Anyway. Well, Tammy got Caleb a pillow of her face to cuddle with at night.
And he says it's going to be wet.
Yeah, with kisses. I was like, yeah. Sure,
with kisses.
Ew.
Tammy's like, you nasty.
Oh, my God. And then we talked about the snacks already. And Tammy's like, I'm fat. I can smell the snacks.
Seriously.
So Caleb says he feels like shit because he can't be there for Tammy. So it's easier to eat a bunch of junk food to cope. And so we just
understandable,
right?
Easier to drown a bottle of wine than to cope too. But yeah. Guess what?
Caleb says his weight is a burden in most of his relationships and friendships. And Tammy told Caleb that it's life or death and it's serious. So Caleb says he's going to fight hard to get home to Tammy. And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So.
See, how's that working out for you, Tam Tam?
Nope.
All right. We'll be right back after this break and we'll move on to the next episode. Okay. And we're back.
Season 5, episode 6. Fried, cried, and tried. We're back to Tammy and Caleb talking at the rehab center and him saying he's going to get his shit together so he can come home and see her. And then Tammy's like, well, you got to throw away all the junk food. So they do that. That was a whole scene. It was
they do a whole like excising the demons or some shit. Like, okay. All right.
$20 says he went back through the trash can after the canister.
Oh, exactly. God. Exactly. Like 100% he went back in for those cookies. Because I would.
Yeah. I would have too. No 100%. Judgment. Yeah.
What did you like on Sex and the City when that one time when Miranda was like throwing away the cake that so she wouldn't eat it and she had to like pour soap all over it in the trash so that she wouldn't reach back in?
That's actually a really good idea.
I feel that in my soul. Like, that's... I get that. As an addict, I get that.
Damn, that cake must have been good. Anyhow. Well, Amanda says it's been... We're back to Amanda. Yes, it's been 6 weeks since she left Michael. Amy, I'm sorry. I just wrote A. Amy says it's been 6 weeks since she left Michael and she can't eat or sleep. You know, she's... just discombobulated, and she decided to destroy her wedding dress with paint, water, and spray guns.
Oh, Amy.
You should have a bingo square for how many times Amy trips over stuff.
Yeah.
You want to play bingo. Sorry, just throwing that out there.
So when she pulled this out, I was like, oh, she's going to do a trash the dress. That's a fun. You know, you put your dress on and you like roll around in mud and dirt and do whatever. And some people get it photographed and it was a whole thing back in the early aughts anyway. All the people who had like their Maggie Sotera dresses back in 2000, they're all like doing trash the desk photography sessions later because like I don't know why, but whatever, to each your own. Anyway, so I was very excited for something like that we were gonna get, and then Amy's trash the dress session was like, oh, okay. It was like the Dollar Tree version. What?
It looked like an Easter egg, like Easter dress colors, like pastel pinks and blues.
There was nothing therapeutic about their gentle ass water guns and stuff. Like you needed to like hurl some stuff, like combine the rage room and the paint and the dress.
I mean, they're like light it on fire, shoot at it. You're in Kentucky. I'm sure they've got guns.
Right. I'm like, put it on, roll around in the mud and the dirt, rip it apart, you know, like... make it therapeutic.
Yeah. She looked so like unsatisfied.
Yeah. I was very unsatisfied as a viewer going, oh, that's really disappointing.
Mm-hmm. But then Amanda is holding the gun and she's like, you should always assume we are packing and not just snacks. Well, holding the squirt gun.
And I'm like, oh my God, I always have snacks. I always have snacks. I'm always packing snacks.
Oh, it's funny.
Protein bars or something. I got something around usually.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm bad with that. I need to.
Yeah. And that as your kid gets older, your snacks will change.
Exactly.
That you care. You won't be carrying Goldfish and Cheerios or whatever she eats, you know.
Yeah. No, I don't give her
whatever
that
trees and leaves and bark you give her that she. pulls out of her pocket and snacks on. That'll change as she gets older.
So we find out that Amanda can't say Halterman right, apparently. I mean, Amy can't say Halterman right.
Halterman.
Oh, it sounds like she's calling him Halterman.
Halterman.
Which I guess it doesn't matter anymore since she's divorcing him. Maybe bringing him back.
Who the fuck cares anymore? Are you changing your name back? Slayton? Slatton? Slatton?
Mm-hmm. Well, we go back to the rehab center, and this is the scene where Caleb tries to have a real date night with Tammy.
Oh, God.
With a rose and a candlelight dinner, a.k.a. tea lights. He gives her a present, which is like a collage of pictures of them. And she looks just so unenthused and so just like.
She so does not want to be any part of this.
And in my mind, I'm looking at her and I'm thinking she's already broken up with him in her head.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. 100%. 100%. Like, yeah.
She does not look thrilled.
Yeah. She's like, oh, yeah, no. Being back with him just confirms that being away from him was better.
Mm-hmm. And we already talked about all the delicious fried foods he pulled out. And what really concerned me was, like, it didn't dawn on him, like, this is not a good idea.
No. You know
what I mean? Like, you're literally filming a show about losing weight, about what it's like to live at that size, and you think it's okay to order all this fried food?
That is, like, shows you exactly where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison to where she's at, right? Like, that is the guy who I went to rehab with that was in my little small group.
Mm-hmm.
The day we finished the first 30-day inpatient, because I did a 30-day inpatient, then I did 30-day outpatient, and just a slight change of program. And he did the 30-day, and then he was going to go home. But the 30-day, when he graduated, guess what he did?
Drank.
He went out and drank, fell down, busted his face open.
Oh.
He went out to celebrate graduating rehab by getting drunk.
Yep.
That's what you have. That's what you have with Caleb.
Yeah.
You have the same thing. And he's like, but if you do it in a controlled environment, which is the equivalent of a heroin addict, oh yeah, I'm going to go shoot heroin like a gentleman. Like, that's not how it works. You don't just like sip a shot, you know, an injection of heroin, you know, every third Friday with the boys at the club. Like, that's not how it works.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Tammy said that clearly his food addiction is worse than she thought it was based on that whole interaction. And then Caleb's like, he know he let her down. It should have been obvious. I feel torn apart that I let her down. And I'm like, okay.
Just shows you where he is in his journey. And
And then when they're saying their goodbyes, this is where I was like, you can tell. She's like, well, you know, it was a good visit. It could have gone worse or better.
It could have gone worse.
Like, okay. Suppose
everything could have been worse.
Yeah. And then she brings up the good one. This is where I'm finally like, okay, she's really starting to, you know, look inside herself and see things as they were and just like reflect on her decisions, because she said that she can't do the work for him. And now she knows how everyone in her family felt when she wouldn't do right and wouldn't lose weight. And so she's reflecting back on how she was. She was at the spot that he's at now. Mm-hmm. Just different pages, like you said.
Yeah.
She's like, and then
you've got Amy being like, bitch, like a snack box, like that was you, like all of this. Like, I get it. I get where she's coming from. But Tammy, like, no.
Mm-hmm. Pot calling the kettle black. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. We see Amy and Tammy when she gets back into town taking the little boys to the indoor playground to tire them out. So Amy trips over a turtle. This is like the third fall she's had in the two episodes.
Well, she's blind, half blind. Like, what are you gonna do? You know,
I can relate to her. I trip over shit all the time. So
same,
I'm like, oh.
Same. Me. I mean, you know me. Mm-hmm. As one of my primary treating providers.
Amy's talking about Tammy's cheat days. They're talking about eating or whatever. She's like, your cheat days turned into cheat years, bitch.
I feel that.
God, I love their banter. And they're just hilariousness. Yeah, so then they're playing, whatever, fine. Great scene. Nice. And then we go back to Chris hosting a party when we're now at a party for the Kentucky Derby. This was crazy.
So this, like, had potential, but again, I felt a little too much producer hand in it. It had potential to be like, oh, let's do the whole family, Chris being funny and silly. Like, let's do a couple scenes like that, right? Like, those have played well for them, but I think they're overdoing it because they did it with the chicken coop rabbit hutch scene, and they're doing it now with this, and this whole party fell completely flat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, they weren't really into it and the kids weren't there. Like, what? Like, it was felt very forced and staged, despite Amy being lazy. But go ahead.
Amy wasn't even probably lazy. She was just like done with the production, probably.
She's done with everything. Yeah.
So yeah, so Chris had them like decorate hats for the Kentucky Derby. As you know, ladies wear hats, big, big fancy hats. Theirs look like dollar store straw hats that you'd wear.
And they barely decorated them. Like clearly it was, this was clearly a very haphazard production. Intern went to Dollar Tree to round up some art supplies so they could throw this thing together real quick, and some stick horses, you know, like I had really great potential with their whole family. If it was like a genuine, all of their family gathering, cause I think it would have been hilarious, but no.
And then they had those little toys, little horse, you know, the stick horses that you like ride as a kid.
The stick horses, the hobby horses.
Yeah, the hobby horses. And they had a relay race, which that's when Amy decided to just not participate. Mm-hmm. And Tammy's still too big to do it. So Chris was a little disappointed she wasn't relaying in her wheelchair with the horse somehow between her legs.
Yeah, and then the ones who were doing it, it was like completely unenthusiastic. And then, except poor Brittany, sweet, bless her heart, Brittany.
I know, she's so sweet.
She's trying so hard. She's just having fun. She didn't give a fuck. She's just, Brittany and her always wearing a skirt. You notice this, right? In her headband, she's, there's two things this woman is committed to. It's her headband and the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's why she wears the skirts. Everything is a skirt with her. Everything.
I thought for sure her and Amanda would win because Amanda's like 6 foot tall. I thought her stride, her horse stride, would be larger, but
Amanda didn't go back.
Oh,
remember that was the part of why the whole thing was stupid, was because like they didn't even follow the right rules. It was like Chris went there and back, but Amanda just went there, and Amanda's sitting there,
right,
going, you don't go back, you just go one way.
I zoned out.
Yeah, because the whole thing was ridiculous. I had to watch the episode. This was like the third time maybe I watched the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway.
So then the family's discussing how they can get into shape before going on a family vacation that they have yet to determine where they're going. And Amy says she's down for anything but yoga. She starts talking about doggy style. And then she's like, I mean, downward facing dog. Not doggy style. That is a different kind of exercise.
Different kind. Yeah. So they go and do Zumba because apparently it's 2001 again.
Have you done Zumba? I've never done it before.
I've never done it. It was like, I mean, I remember when it came in and when it went out.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's still in Kentucky. I don't know.
Yeah.
So they go to do Zumba. All right. Fun. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Amy throws her fit.
And they're talking about flying and how they're going to get to Florida for their vacation.
Oh, right.
Tammy's like, I'm scared to fly, but I'll do it. And Amy was like, I will not fly. I will drive down. And they're like, how the fuck are you going to drive down? You can't see, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, we learn in the next episode how that happens. So.
Yeah. Tammy goes, now Amy's the bitch and I'm the calm one.
Right?
That's true. So in the Zumba class, I was like really proud of Tammy to see her up and actually dancing.
Yeah, she
and
was like, enjoying it.
It's like she's got rhythm. Look at her go. Look at her.
Yeah,
go.
She was having a blast. She's just rocking it there, standing up out of her chair and everything. Yeah.
Then the instructor was like, all right, that was our warm up. And I felt that in my soul from every exercise I've ever done. Like the beach body workouts, I'll do the warm ups, I'll be done. I'm like, okay, I'm done. That's enough. But then Amy leaves the room, the exercise room, and she's crying, sitting in the middle of the floor of the gym. So, of course, her family members come out to talk to her, and then they all sit around a table, and Amy's, like, talking about how she hasn't had a poop in 2 weeks.
And you said, oh, my God, I have a patient just like you.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And her name is Katrina.
Yeah, right, Katrina? And I gave you some Chinese herbs.
Yes, and now I'm shitting every morning.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I know. It's so fantastic.
I love
like
it.
Like, I get up and I have a morning poo like a normal person. Like, what is this?
It warms my heart to hear that you're pooping.
But yes, for everybody, they're making this huge deal. See, and maybe I needed to see this too, because I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, she hasn't gone in 2 weeks. Whatever. That's normal for me too. And... And everyone's like, oh my God, that's really not healthy. That's just not safe. That's not healthy. I'm like, should I be more concerned? I'm like, I have a gastroenterologist. It's fine. It's fine. It's all fine.
Yep. But, mm-hmm. I think I it was
have,
like,
I just have MS. It's fine.
I think it was like Amy's excuse. Not pooping for 2 weeks, but the whole, my tummy hurts, I don't want to work out. I think it was just her excuse to stop and like,
right,
you know, just step away. And then that's when the family starts to not like gang up on her, but they start off kind of nice. And then it gets pretty strong and heavy when they say like, you're not taking care of yourself. Like, are you wearing your CPAP? And they're explaining to her why she needs to wear a CPAP. Like, but this is not the right time because she just doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't blame them necessarily because this is, again, Amy breaking down and freaking out and doing this thing. And they're like, okay, well, we've talked to you about this before. Are you taking your meds? Are you sleeping? And we know you're not doing this. And I can't sleep because of the boys. Well, no, you're not. It's not just the boys. You're also not wearing your CPAP, which means you're not getting proper sleep. You, Lexi, as somebody who wears the CPAP, knows the difference in the kind of sleep you get between the CPAP and not sleep CPAP. Of course, she's not getting any quality sleep, and she's not taking meds, whatever meds she's supposed to be taking. You know, she's not taking those. Like, of course, you know,
she's not eating right now. Everything, and we all go through these things, ups and downs with our lives.
And we've all been where Amy is.
Yeah, she's lucky she has family that cares about her. Yes. That's 100%. trying to talk to her. It's just like trying to talk to a depressed person and give them advice is sometimes like talking to a wall in some ways if they're not ready to hear it. But
well, it's like they were having two different conversations. You know, Amy's sitting there going, I was sick. Why are you guys railing on me for being sick? I don't rail on you guys for being sick. But to them, they're not seeing it that way. No, we're railing on you because you need to pull your head out of your ass and fucking do something.
Right.
Like, hello, wake up. Like, we get it. You know, you've been in this place. We get it. But you're not coming out and you're getting worse. So you need to start pulling yourself up. Right. So they're getting that. So, but she's not ready to hear it. Right. That collision hasn't happened. So she's having this conversation. They're having that conversation. And it's just.
Yeah. And then, of course, Chris decides to make a joke. And he's like, we know Amy's full of shit from the top of her head to her feet, which is funny. I'm sorry. That's funny.
It is
constipated, funny. But not the right time. So then she storms off into the van outside and she's like talking about how I'm done. I'm going to throw this microphone. You don't take it. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
It was reminiscent of my freak out breakdown I had at the pet store right before Christmas. I was like, I'm done. Just throw everything, walk out of the room.
You told me about that.
We've all been there. We've all been there.
We have all been there. And then Chris says to Amy, like, hey, what's gonna happen if something happens to you with the boys? Like, your boys need you.
An important conversation to have with her as well, because I think once she realizes that connection, she'll get her head out of her ass.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that's the connection she needs to make. She's not making that connection. She's not realizing she's not taking care of herself. Right. She just is
in survival mode.
Yeah, exactly. So she doesn't realize that she's letting all these other things go. She's just in complete crisis survival mode right now. And so she's not seeing that what she's doing could be detrimental to the boys. And I think once she makes that connection, she'll get her head out of her ass because of how much she wants for those boys.
Definitely. And Tammy's like, I know how she feels because I've been there with like the depression and everything going on. So that was kind of the end of the episode. We see a little preview of the rest of the season and we see Amy getting spray tanned, definitely production. We see the family vacation starting with Tammy on the beach. So finally, Tammy gets to go to the beach for the first time ever. And we see Tammy on a boat, which I never would have thought I would have seen.
Never would have thought. All of that is their vacation is the most recent episode that just aired. And we're going to be getting that episode to you guys in a separate episode than this podcast episode. But we're going to get that one to you as well. So we're just, you know, we're trying to catch up from our winter and, you know, sickness and all of the things that happen in my work stuff that, you know, It's almost done. Almost done. This crazy work project is almost done.
Nice.
So, yeah, so we're trying to catch up on all those episodes. And, hey, do us a favor. If you like us, go give us a review, please. Or just give us a 5-star. Doesn't matter. Like, whatever. Just give us a 5-star. That'd be great. You know, I haven't asked in a while. Maybe it'll do some good this time. I don't know. Love you guys. Anyway, That's it. That's all we got. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, fraudcasters. You know, I used to find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. They were the first thing to take off when I got home. But Skims has changed all that. You guys know I love my Skims Fits Everybody t-shirt bras. I own them in just about every shade now. I wear them every single day when I leave the house. And they are completely worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I was not expecting from them was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that I wear all day, I barely even notice. Definitely not the first thing I take off when I come home anymore. Y'all, I'm a 36 double D and I've had a reduction and I've gone up and down and lost weight and gained weight and all the things. And the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I swear, fits me the best. I finally found a t-shirt bra that I can wear. But not only that, it is the best bra that I own. It holds the girls in so well. And let me just say, Hetero Life Mate really appreciates these bras too. Shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes from a 30A to a 46H. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Fraudcast, in the drop-down menu that follows.